Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. 1968 was a momentous year in American history, both for good and ill. Among the positive outcomes of that tumultuous time was the creation of several bold new initiatives in North Carolina to help the state move beyond its past of racial segregation and economic isolation. One such initiative was the creation of an important research outfit known as MDC. Over the last half century, MDC has partnered with foundations, nonprofits, and leaders from government, business, and education, and communities to promote change that combats poverty and exclusion. Recently, MDC released a special version of its annual State of the South report that looks back at the past 50 years and explores what needs to happen in order to promote a better future. I caught up with longtime MDC Executive Director David Dotson in his Durham office to discuss the report. Well, David Dotson, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
You know, you're the longtime leader of one of North Carolina's most really venerable research organizations, MDC, now celebrating its 50th anniversary. Maybe you could remind our listeners a little bit about who MDC is or what MDC
is. Well, thanks. I'd love to. It's not necessarily a household set of initials. MDC is a think tank with muddy boots. That's the way we talk about ourselves. And we do research and we put projects on the ground in conjunction with partners to expand equity and opportunity. That is to make education and employment and family economic security work as they should to lift all people to a better place in North Carolina and across the South. And we are the child, born 50 years ago, of Terry Sanford's North Carolina Fund, which was the path-breaking effort by government, philanthropy, and business working together to attempt to intervene at the intersection of poverty and race to lift the South and North Carolina to a new level. And we are carrying on that work. As we say in this report, there's progress been made and there's still a lot of work to do.
Yes, and of course, that report that you refer to is what we call the State of the South. It's really one of the signature publications of MDC that comes out periodically. You've just released a new version of it.
And we did this one because it's our 50th anniversary. And 1967-68 was a tumultuous time, and there's a lot of commemoration going on. We thought it would be useful to look back and see how, over beginning in that period, the South, North Carolina, really a leader in the South, managed to throw off some of the shackles, policy shackles, shackles in mindset, shackles in the way we organized our economy and thought about society, and move into the modern era, and to look at the benefits and consequences of that courageous action. And then from the standpoint of what we managed to do 50 years ago, or starting 50 years ago, what we could learn from history in terms of insights about how we face the challenges that we have today. We call this State of the South report Recovering Our Courage. And the theme is that 50 years ago, people in the South, through their own courageous will and sometimes pushed from the outside, summoned the courage to move in a different direction from being an also-ran region to a region that now leads the nation in population growth and has had a miraculous transformation. But the fact is, if we look through three lenses, and we call them belonging, who belongs inside the tent of social participation? If we look at thriving, how do we make sure the benefits and opportunities of society are strong and extend to as many people as possible? And as we look at contributing, how do we continue the investment that is necessary to build opportunity and equity? If we look at belonging, thriving, and continuing, three domains of life that 50 years ago we began to work on and change, we see real challenges. The tent of who we is, the tent flaps are no longer as wide open as they used to be. We're not thriving across the board in the ways that we need to be a region we can be proud of. And perhaps most particularly, when we look at contributing, our ability to invest with an eye to how we will benefit future generations, to as Erskine Bowles used to fondly say, add to society's woodpile, not take away from it. We've got some work to do. So those are the themes of the report.
I was trying to explain it to some of my colleagues the other day, and I did it in a much less eloquent way, but I was basically saying there's some good news. We've made some real progress in the South over the last several decades, but some huge challenges in terms of poverty, segregation, gaps in income along racial lines remain big, big challenges.
Exactly, exactly. And somehow, starting 50 years ago, we saw that those challenges had to be navigated if the entire region was going to move forward for everyone. And look what we did. The South built community colleges. We made concerted efforts to invest in the starved system of K through 12 education, which really was, in most southern states, a travesty. We began to make some inroads in early childhood education and kindergarten. We built infrastructure. And most importantly, on the social side, we attacked segregation, which had been kind of the calling card of the American South. It's what drove my forebears out of the South to the North. I'm really glad my generation came back. But segregation kept us in a straitjacket, and it also caused talent to migrate out. We dealt with those issues, and now, wonderfully, and in a way paradoxically, we are drawing talent back to the South, educated talent. A lot of African-American talent is coming back home. But one of the things that's going on, and it's one of the things we discovered that we need to pay attention to, are increases in the population that has that critical post-secondary credential that's necessary for success in this economy. Most of the growth in post-secondary credentials is coming today from people who migrate in with those credentials to the South, in North Carolina, to Mecklenburg and Wake and the Triangle. And our production of post-secondary talent, that is turning our own people into well-credentialed workers and citizens, is not keeping pace to match that equivalent inflow. So what's happening is we're growing and benefiting from people who are moving into the region, and we're not developing our own people nearly fast enough and far enough to be able to take their rightful place in society and in the production line. And that's a problem. That probably is the biggest issue that we see. If we rely on imported talent to the detriment of growing our own people through education, workforce training, higher education, one of our economists said, that's a prescription for something nobody wants to be, a colonial economy. And a colonial economy is one where the benefits of growth and development don't accrue to natives. They accrue to people who move in from someplace else. And if we don't watch talent development in particular, and in the new demography we have, which has a great many people we've never really educated well becoming the majority, we're not going to continue to move forward. That's where we stand, and that's why we need to recover our courage.
We love free markets. We respect them. We appreciate the contribution they make to society. It also calls for intentional public solutions. We're not going to get to where we need to go merely by if public structures and government just sort of stand aside and are passive observers. It's going to require intentional public solutions to make that happen.
It actually is, because even the most well-intentioned companies are here to maximize their own self-interest. And it's the public systems and the civic structures that ensure that we maximize the shared interests that we all have. And it's in our shared interest to have our entire demographic be well-educated and capable of creating and sustaining and contributing to social innovation and common uplift. I mean, that's just the way a mixed society works. And 50 years ago, our foresighted leaders understood that. They could articulate that. They put policies in place, and they led courageously to make that happen. We want to remind people that we just didn't get to where we are in the South, a much better South, by accident. We got here, as you suggest, by deliberate public investment, a philosophy of investment that also made it very attractive for private enterprise to be here and prosper, but that made competitiveness and equity kind of the twin goals of public policy.
It's an incredibly important report. We hope people will check it out, stateofthesouth.org, right? That's
yes,
where they can
yes,
find it?
Yes, indeed. Please look at it and tell us what you think. Thanks so much for this conversation.
Well, we'll do it again sometime real soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, MDC isn't the only group assessing what the last 50 years have meant in the battle for economic progress and equality. We'll get another expert's point of view after this. Stay with us.